All right. Okay. I know that in the stick to the issues crowd, which the Taiwan special is all geared towards, you're going to want to know, what do I think about Sidney Powell? Giuliani says she's not on the team. Look, I'm not going to get too much into nitty gritty with this because I don't want to be boring, but I'm going to tell you my overall view of all this. Of course, I hope that you listen to Symphony at Pacific Daily Times on Monday, the encore, where I did talk about what's going on with Trump playing it cool as if he's got a royal flush in his hand. That's how he's behaving. He is not behaving like a loser. I think he knows he's going to win this big time. And the thing that he's got to do to make the medicine go down is to act ultra, ultra calm. Oh, yes. Of course we won. Like, he's got to do that and not seem heavy handed. And that's why I think he's disappeared and is playing golf. Joseph Fouché did that. The minister of police under Napoleon. Time and time again, they kept having one revolution after another. And Fouché was the minister of police, I think, before Napoleon, during Napoleon. And then there was the revolution that overthrew Napoleon, and another revolution that brought Napoleon back, and then another revolution after that that kicked Napoleon out again. And the whole time, Fouché stayed the minister of police the whole time. And at one point in one of these, because they needed someone to run the police. His job, he never saw himself as helping the dictator stay in power, whoever the dictator was. He saw himself as just managing the police. You know, that the people need to stop crime and stop thieves. You know, that's how he saw it. And whenever a revolution was happening, he conveniently got sick or tired and needed a nap and slept the whole day. Or one time they went to arrest him and, he said, it is being French, it is illegal to arrest a gentleman on the street. And the French police, oh, it is illegal. Well, all right. And so they didn't arrest him. Another time they went to his house to arrest him. Oh, yes, of course, you may arrest me, but would you offer the courtesy of a gentleman to change his clothes into something more appropriate before taking him away? Well, yes, of course, Mr. Fouché. So he goes into his bedroom and never comes out, and finally they break into his bedroom, and they see that the window's open with a ladder leading down to the garden below. They couldn't find him, but the next day when that revolution was finished, oh, all of a sudden he reemerges, and guess what? They need a minister of police again. So Fouché just literally napped through every revolutionary transition of power in France in the Napoleonic era. And Trump golfing looks a lot like that to me. This is not the attitude of someone that really believes he's lost. So anyhow, I the other thing is announcing that Sidney Powell, and of course, you know, this is coming out on Tuesday, and I don't know what's happened in the meanwhile in America, but they never said that Sidney Powell was fired. They never said that she did something bad. They never threw her under the bus. They're simply making a simple statement that Sidney Powell is doing Sidney Powell. And Trump is doing Trump. Giuliani is a lawyer for Trump. Now, they may be working together in some capacity, cooperating, but she's not operating at the direction of Trump himself, per se. So I don't know where this is going to go or how this is all going to end, but I do know that it's going to end with massive demonstrations from either side, and the biggest danger is going to be, I mean, the Republican voters will be outright deadly. As I look at this, it's reminding me of the Sunflower Movement. And this is the more important thing. When it was 2014 and the students had taken over their national legislature in Taiwan, and by a miraculous circumstance of events, meeting the same guy outside on the street in the same place several days, if not a week apart, through so many different events, I ended up going into the legislature, and I was there the last 21 hours of their occupancy. I think it was nine. Oh boy, it would have been, I think nine, I want to think 9 p.m. I went in, and then they left the next day. I don't remember what it was, but I know that it was the last 21 hours. Cause they left the next day anyhow. So it was wild. No, was it about 9 p.m. that I went in and then they were gone 6 p.m. the next day? It would have been sunset. So that sounds about right. No, literally, as they walked outside, the sun set while I was filming them. And when the film starts, you can see daylight, and then it goes to twilight. It was a 12-minute video. When you get out, the sky's all dark. So thank you, George. Look, the podcast observer actually was useful once. George, thank you. This is why I have you here. Well, as much as you're wrong and you interrupt so many times that, yeah, no, good. Cheery. Okay. All right. Pound it. Good. Okay. So, I need to have good cooperation with the podcast observer. So yes, I was there. And when I was there with the Taiwan Sunflower students, the first thing that I noticed when I went in was how happy they were to see each other. It was weird. I mean, you know, one of my buddies, the first time I met this one guy, he was sitting with me outside and he was looking for someone. And then his buddy, who's also a buddy of mine now, came out on the roof and let down a ladder. And I kind of gently elbowed him and pointed upstairs, and he was like, yeah. And as soon as they made eye contact, as soon as they saw each other, the guy up on the roof and the guy down on the ground, they were incredibly happy. And I just thought that it was, okay, that's interesting. They're awesome friends. I go inside and I see that this is everywhere. I mean, these students really, really loved each other just as friends, in a way like I've never seen before. And so down on the floor of the legislature, it was this massive party. And I mean, people were hooting and hollering like high school students at a football game, but it was about political issues. It was sheer politics. And these are all 18, 19, 20, 22, 24-year-olds. And they were just, it was sheer happiness. And there was also a level of seriousness. There were tears. There were hurt feelings because the police had beat some people up. They had a lot of emotion pent up, but they really loved each other. And they were pretty much unstoppable. And they also had political electricity. Like, I don't know if you know about this, but when the president walks into an arena and everybody's watching, it's like there's this bolt, this emotional shock that just hits the whole room as soon as the president comes in the door. Whether you're looking or not, you can feel it. It's called political electricity. I talked about this with a professor briefly. I was at O'Hare, and he was a professor at Roosevelt. And I told him that the Sunflower students had political electricity. He goes, I know what that is. I know what you mean. And they all had political electricity. And I'm seeing and hearing the same thing come out of the Trump supporters. They have radical emotion. They're very passionate. They're very angry, but they really love each other in a way that I have not seen since the Sunflower students in Taiwan. Also, it's a thriving democratic society. It's vibrant and it has a lot to learn, but they're legitimately a free nation in terms of their culture, especially the young people. They've got this older, oppressive, older culture, but they are a free people. And they had a massive love for each other. And that was the last time I saw it. And now I'm seeing it again with the Trump supporters. And I'm sitting here going, if Trump doesn't win, these guys could end up overthrowing every single state government overnight. So, I mean, however we look at this, Trump's going to be in the Oval Office in January and February. See you tomorrow.